I got a couple spots that I'm not finished, but my daughter has a little section over there. Aww. You know, but speaking of, I know you wasn't expecting this.
Yeah.
Because hold on. So speaking of all these stickers that I got, I be working with Dusty and stuff.
Yep.
And I'm working with Vermont Heady Label.
Yep.
And they have all of these huge cannabis stickers.
Oh yes.
Yeah. I saw our black cherry garlic over there.
It's funny that you're bringing up the black cherry and this ink pen right here. I say one thing that I wanted to be done.
Yep.
Is when I have people come on the podcast who have these, what you call it? They sign them.
I recognize a handful of those.
Was wondering if you could sign the black
cherry. Of course I could.
Cherry. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yep. You haven't had Tito on yet.
I haven't had him, but he's on the way.
Oh, good.
He's definitely on the way. Anywhere you want to, sir. Eventually, when this thing gets bigger, I'm going to cut these sections out on the wall, and we're going to auction them all for some
That's amazing.
You know what I'm saying? Hell yeah.
You
thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Hey, that piece going to get us millions, baby.
I hope this podcast is brought to you by the letter C, which stands for cannabis, but not Chris. That starts with a K. That's right. You are listening to nothing other than
Cannasations with Chris. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Cannasations, which has got to be your favorite podcast by now, because I've been saying your favorite podcast, so... You know what I'm saying? And before we get into what we do, this is a special podcast because it's my 50th. Like, it's my 50th episode. So, thank you. Those are real hand claps. I didn't add these sound
Those
effects.
Are real hand claps.
They're my hand claps.
So, but what we like to do on this show is we like to highlight the cannabis industry and the people within. And today, not only is it the 50th episode, it's like I've been asking this gentleman since, oh my God.
2 years.
2 years. Oh, you Two know, years. Because I end up having to go to her and be like, I need you to bring them to me.
And what did I do?
And she brought them right here to my front doorstep. But I met this gentleman. I don't remember if you were there. So... But when I met y'all is when I started saying that I was going to do a podcast. That same, it was Nican. I remember yours was the dark tent. I remember it being like dark and kind of gloomy in there. It wasn't
really
all
mysterious.
Yeah, it was mysterious. Ooh. And then I seen the rose cone and I was like, a rose? You can smoke roses? Like, who does that? And then this gentleman ended up was like, here, take it. And I was like, he was like, somebody was trying to get it, but I'll give it to you. And he gave it to me, and it was like, it was super cool. And I've been to a few of their events. I went down there. And what else can I say about... Oh, now, I'm not giving him the title, but there's a title that is, given to this gentleman. And when I told him about it, he was like, I mean, you know, if that's what they say, I mean, I know a lot more better than me. And I'm like, in the industry, he was like, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, enough about our experience. But without further ado, we have Nick and Angela, the owners of Forbin's Finest. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming. I greatly appreciate y'all.
Thanks
like,
for having us.
I really do.
Thanks for having us. And dinner was amazing.
That's what I go for. It was crazy because it's the 50th episode. I have Forbin's Finest, and I had to make chicken wings. And it's All-Star Weekend, so it's like basketball, so I'm a big basketball head. As you see in all my collages, it's something about basketball and girls and all of my collages. So
I also think the Daytona 500 is this weekend for anybody that's interested in racing.
Do you know anything about it?
No,
I'm from Martinsville. Uh-huh. It's Martinsville Speedway. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people know where I'm from because of the speedway, the turn and ridgeway. You know what I'm saying? Yep. So, yeah. Well, look, thank y'all so much for coming. I greatly appreciate it. Yo, high school sweethearts? Right?
We are high school sweethearts.
That is crazy. I think, like, there's not many of y'all left around. Like, high school sweethearts and years. Like, it's not like y'all just graduated last year. Like, you're not. We're not all spring chickens. You know?
Not anymore.
Excuse me. No, but you know what I'm saying? For the congratulations, that's, like, also, like, a huge monument in life. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Well, look, let's talk about you, man.
Sure.
How, I told you before, like, I'm starting to build the episodes around relationships with cannabis and your relationship. So what's your relationship with cannabis? First, well, before that, let's talk a little bit about you and your upbringings and, you know, into cannabis.
My upbringings, well, I was homeschooled till eighth grade. And so I wasn't really exposed to cannabis until freshman year. No, it was like freshman year. The first cannabis that I ever smoked was probably not real. But I think it was like freshman year or the year in between eighth and ninth grade that I was first introduced. And I pretty much loved it from the first experience on. It was just, it felt right for me. And I think it helped me to focus better. And
yeah.
I liked the overall experience. And I was captivated by the high that I got from it. And so it was a huge part of my life from that point forward.
That's cool. Yeah. And what you say in eighth, ninth grade?
It was like ninth grade because we had friends that were able to get weed because it was hard to get weed back then. It wasn't like now where it's like everywhere.
Everywhere.
You
know,
a store.
I mean, and it was terrible. So it was just different. I was interested in psychedelics and just those were the things that were being talked about when I transitioned from being homeschooled and I went to public school. As soon as I learned of these things, I was just kind of interested in that. And so I had some friends whose dads were definitely into distributing weed at the time. And so that was how I was introduced. And the first time I ever smoked weed, I didn't get high. I remember we smoked a good amount and nothing really happened.
Also brickweed.
Yeah, it was really low quality weed.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yep.
I remember my first experience, I got blowed.
Well, that was time two for me.
Yeah.
That was the second time. Wow, weed is like this. That was cool. It was really fun. And then the second time that we smoked, do you remember like Who Framed Roger Rabbit? When it goes like cartoon. It was literally like that. Uncontrollable laughing. I mean, that was quite an experience. And it was fun.
That's one of my favorite movies. It was one of my favorites growing up. It was like one of the adult movies that you could watch as a kid.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You can get away with the, now you watch it, it's like, oh, this is kind of dirty. And there's probably, if I look hard enough, there's a Jessica Rabbit sticker on this wall somewhere.
I would believe that.
Exactly. They walked in the studio and they was like, whoa, look at all of these.
I'm impressed by the spacing.
Thank you.
It's all really uniform.
I'm not going to say like I'm OCD or anything, but I'm learning that I do have bits of, and that's what happened. Like I came in here. So look, this part up here is more covered up, but I remember I did psychedelics. I went and ate some mushrooms and I came in here and I was like, this room is amazing. They were moving. I was just sitting there looking. And my daughter came in and was like, you all right? I'm like, I'm great. but thank you. This is an awesome space. I appreciate it. I like the comfortability of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can, anybody that comes in here has something that they can relate to, whether it's from somebody came in and seen the office stickers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and
they saw one of those over there.
Over there, you know what I'm saying? And then somebody said, oh, you got video games? And
I keep getting drawn to the Eminem one over
Eminem,
there.
Eminem, I got Dr. Dre. It's an association. Everything in this room. It was, I'm not going to say like it was calculated moves, but it was kind of calculated about how you, talk a little bit about you.
Well, so Nick and I, we knew each other, I think from our first day of our freshman year, but didn't start dating until the beginning of our sophomore year. And we had a pretty tight relationship up until about we were 20, I would say.
Yeah.
And then we separated for about 5 years, got back together. And yeah, Nick's been growing pretty much as long as I've known him.
It's awesome.
Yep. He's always definitely had a green thumb and a way to, you know, he's always been very good at providing and making sure that the needs are met. And I think, you know, back in those days, that was part of that process.
The dynamic, yeah. Go ahead.
No,
it's like I said, like seeing some, I think from my high school, I think there's only one, maybe two couples that are high school sweethearts. No, matter of fact, I'll say even three, but I'm not for sure about the third one. But it's not that many couples, even in the military. You know, people get married in the military and then you get out, you get divorced.
Funny thing is we've never been married.
They were not married.
For real? Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yo, I thought y'all was married the whole time. Yo, you know
a lot of people assume that, and sometimes we're
and
just,
we don't correct them.
It's
like whatever. I mean,
we've been together since we were freshmen.
I mean, y'all basically
school,
married.
So it's like and we have a child together. So,
yo, that's amazing.
There's not much difference between the life that we're living and a married couple. Yeah. But technically, we're not married.
Yo, that's.
Yep.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. If you thought they was mad, I did too. Yo, that's awesome that y'all didn't. I mean, I guess it's y'all's choice. It's whatever. But y'all still been there with for each other since high school. Like, I mean, of course, with a break. But I mean, still, like, that's awesome. Like,
I just feel like you don't need to be married to prove your love to another person, right? And
true.
So it's just a little piece of paper, and underlying is the love that we have for each other, and that's going to stay the same.
That's adorable.
We've had a busy life.
I swear.
we've had an incredibly busy life. You know, it's been a never-ending cascade of events since she got pregnant, and you know, the business undertaking's pretty major. And even the years before that,
we were building our house.
Yep, we built our house before that, so we've
no matter
really
what we've
busy.
Been doing, we've always been working 16-hour days.
Yeah, that's, I mean, as
lifestyle.
A parent. Yeah, it's a lifestyle as a parent. That's what you lock in and do it. Don't matter what I got to do, but I got to do it. Well, Nick, one thing, like I said, you're not the reason why I started this show. But when I started getting into the cannabis, it was voiceovers to start. And so what I was doing was I was going around, how you doing? My name is Chris Brown, and I'm a voiceover artist.
I remember.
Yeah, I remember. Oh, and yeah. They was like, you sure are. We would love to use it. And then we found out that
Allstate.
It was Allstate guy. I said, you should be the Allstate guy. And I found out that cannabis advertisement was illegal on television and radios and things like that. And that same event, I had a powerful thing happened over in the corner, and I started, that's where the podcast started formulating. And then like shortly after this, when I ran up on y'all and I found out your story, and it's crazy how you meet all these cool people in this industry, but you know, you don't really know what they had to go through to get here and things like that. And you're part of the equity program, which means you were
Social equity,
yes. So could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, when we realized that there was a social equity program, actually she did a lot of the research and realized that I was probably eligible because I had been incarcerated for cannabis-related crimes. And so we applied, and I...
So his cannabis-related crime was having 3 plants less than a foot tall in his closet.
Yep.
3.
Hold up.
Let me tell you this story.
I want to, let's talk about, I thought you, Nick, I swear to God, to this moment, before she said that shit, I thought you had an operation.
No, I did. So I'll tell you the story of why I was incarcerated, which is really funny, because in 2006, you know, let me back up even further. So I told you I was homeschooled until eighth grade. When I finally went to public school, I mean, I think it was pretty normal back then, freshman year, like that's when you learned that's about your weed. That's, yeah. That was the thing. Yeah, and I was one of those kids that was like, wow, well, what's weed, right? And so from that point forward, I was intrigued and really interested. And there wasn't a ton of information about the medicinal properties, but I did realize that smoking weed was something that actually, at the time, I swear, helped me in school even. Yes. It helped me focus. Like there were some benefits, and I don't know that I was fully understanding all of the benefits that I got from it, but I knew that it worked for me, mm-hmm. and I really liked it. I was definitely intrigued and interested in the psychedelic effects that I had. You know, I was just interested in general in psychedelics, too, because I found it intriguing, right? Not all kids find that type of stuff intriguing. No, they don't. So that's how I got into it.
I didn't get into psychedelics until like 3 years ago. So yeah like for you to be intrigued by it, it's understandable.
I read some books by at the time by Paul Stamets, you know, just found growing mushrooms was like another side interest at the time. I was really into learning at that age in general. So anyway, so I was a fairly regular cannabis user from that age going forward. And by the time I was 23, I think, I was growing pretty regularly and almost always. So the first time I ever grew cannabis, I was also like sophomore year in high school, I remember, because the weed had seeds. That was just it. I grew up.
I didn't know weed couldn't have seeds.
Exactly. that was it. And we gardened, like as a kid, I gardened a lot. My mom was big on that, and I found seeds in the weed, and it was like, I know what to do with these, and it was from that point forward that I dove in head first to growing. So in 2006, I was growing pretty regularly. I would say probably almost all the time, and cops showed up to where I was living for a noise complaint. My sister let them in the door, they like had just basically moved. They just like walked into the room that I was living in, and my closet door was open, and there was three plants like 10 inches tall, and at the time that was enough for a felony conviction. And
that's crazy.
Yeah, well, and because I was on probation already at the time for using, for smoking weed, and just, you know, I had gotten in a little bit of trouble already, and then with that they convicted me on a felony, and I ended up spending 45 days in jail for three plants.
Immature 10-inch plants. Yep.
Yo, immature? Yep. Like, they didn't even have nothing smokable on it.
No. But that was, that was life in 2006, dude.
Well, yes, you're 100% right. Like, I have been smoking since I was, same thing, 9th, 10th grade. That's when you get introduced, 15, 16. And I remember, like, it was like my mother found out that I had weed seeds. She found a little flower here.
Yeah.
Like, and this was like 02, I think. And it was bad. Like, so flower has always been the bad side of life until recently. Now you're here, a full blown business owner. With, like I said, once again, he got the belt, but he don't want to hold it. He don't want to hold it. But yeah, man. And what were you doing at the time? Like,
my career?
Yeah, what was your career?
I was a career mechanic, diesel mechanic, and I did refrigeration work actually before I was a mechanic. But I did commercial diesel, and then VW Audi diesel for 10 years at the end of my career.
You was a worker.
Yeah.
He was a legit worker.
But I was growing the whole time. I mean, I started growing in high school, and my mom told me that weed was the devil.
Yeah, too. That's mine. I mean, the devil's lettuce.
That was how I
It was
up.
The gateway drug.
It was the gateway drug. And that's why, you know, that's why when I was introduced to it the first time, you know, I didn't even really know the difference between really addictive drugs and dangerous drugs versus weed and even mushrooms, you know. And now I've come to realize, like, there's a lot of medicinal benefits from psychedelic mushrooms.
It is.
People, even when I first started thinking about that, I didn't realize the scope of that, but now I'm a believer in that too.
I used to work at the Inn at Essex, and one of my best servers, like everybody that came in, he's very prominent in the community, but he was just doing this as a side job in between, but not in the canter, just, you know, out in life. He's an insurance salesman now, but we was in this is when I was introduced to psychedelics, and he was like, he came in, he was like, yo, I microdose every day. It's like, I'm dosed right now. And I noticed like how perky he was. It's more so of a, oh, this is, it's just wonderful. And then I started the first time I didn't microdose, I just went on a full blown trip. And then after that, you know, I had a couple, you know, trips, and then I started learning about microdosing and the benefits of it and stuff like that. So it's, all these things are old school, but they're still new, coming to the forefront.
Yeah.
And I feel like cannabis having that class 1 felony, like it's same thing as cocaine or heroin, like in the same bar. Yeah. Like, I can't throw a heroin seed in the ground and get a whole heroin plant. You can grow cocaine, but it's a coca plant, but you got to process it with a whole bunch of other stuff. But this little seed, I can grow it right with my tomatoes or right beside all this other stuff. So that's why, like, you being...
And it will never kill you, which is also nice.
Yo, actually, yes, it will. But you have to smoke, I think it's like a certain amount of tonnage in about 10 minutes for you to have an overdose on cannabis. Mm, and then at the bottom, it said, good luck, folks. So, but you're 100% right. Like, this is the one thing, this one quote-unquote drug, is the one thing that hasn't really killed anyone, but it's also had people killed because of, you know, on both sides, the bad side and the good side, allegedly, you know, the cops and all this shit. But still, like, this, it's just a plant. Like, families have been destroyed because of a plant, of a weed plant.
Seems pretty silly from here.
From now it does. Yeah. I mean, even the, thinking about it, even back then, it was certain, like, I got in trouble for asking questions. Like, why is this a bad thing? Like, if it's just a seed, like, why is it a bad thing? Like, you know? And that wasn't the right question, because it was a drug. You were going to smoke crack after this. Like, you're going to steal my TV after you smoke weed.
Yeah, man. You know, Reefer Madness.
Yeah, Madness. That's my poster. And it's that was the atmosphere that, like you said, we grew up in, right?
Yeah. That is what I grew up in.
Yeah, it wasn't the bestest, but now.
Yeah. Now, but I knew it worked. That was the thing that I didn't realize until many years later, is the reason I was so interested and attracted to cannabis my whole life is because it really was pretty beneficial for me throughout my late teen and definitely my 20s.
Yeah.
You know,
that's good.
Yeah.
I've met a few people that when I was younger and I heard that, I was like, you're just lying.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't do that. But then as I get older and I meet a lot of people who say, hey, cannabis, I hit the honor roll because of weed. And I'm like, that's crazy. Because you were smoking the devil's lettuce. Like, you're smoking this bad thing that's doing all these good things. And honestly, like you said, we were self-medicating before we even knew what self-medicating was.
Yep.
So, yeah, man. Yeah.
Like we were talking about earlier, we like to tell people it's the end gate drug.
The end gate.
It's really, it's not, like, this is not something that addicts people. It's actually a tool that addicts use to get away from really dangerous drugs.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
I knew I was going to get that out. I was going to get that out of you somehow.
It's important.
It is. You know? I once again, I've met people who told me, like, I use cannabis to get off of the harder drugs. So, yeah.
And even alcohol. I mean, I've eliminated about 85% of the alcohol in my diet by drinking tonic.
Tonics, yeah. That's it. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's different methods of ingestion. It's not like we all smoke. Like, it's not like we're all, I mean, I love smoking. Yes, I always smoke, but there's also other ways, like ingestion. Like, 2 hours for an edible is aggressive, but now they said you would never be able to put cannabis in a beverage. And well, now
I think nano is what made that all change, right? Yeah. So these are fast acting, 15-minute onset. So it's, you know, you drink one and you'd have similar effects to drinking a beer within the same amount of time.
Exactly.
And yeah.
And it's like and it's easier to hold more weed, more cannabis beverage than it is beer beverage, mentally and physically. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And there's only 20 calories in
And you can even lose weight.
I mean, my favorite IPAs are like 160 calories a piece. So.
Was that what you was drinking today? Yeah. The 14 Star?
Yeah.
Hey, look, that's a good one.
It is a good
one. I got to look back. I haven't, like I said, I stopped drinking the beverage. I ain't going to say I'm on here because, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, people be like, oh, my God. You know how sensitive the world is now. But so I'm starting to find, but that one, like the 14 Star, like I like that one. So I might have to.
Yeah, I like, you know, lower potency ones. But they're still all really high in calories. Yeah,
exactly. Lower alcohol, higher calories. Well, I know you was there, you know, the whole time, you know, all with all his struggles and getting caught up. But, I mean, what was it like for you? You say people, they just walked in, you know what I'm saying, right?
She was actually not there. I was there
the day you got arrested.
Yeah. She was there. She wasn't there that night. She was there shortly after.
Yeah.
I mean, at the time, it was just, it was a different world to live in.
It was, just completely.
And honestly, it hasn't been that different for that long. I mean, before we were licensed, I mean, as you know, Nick's been growing for over 20 years, but I tried really hard and it was a point of contention in our relationship, how open he was about cannabis when I wasn't, right? Yeah. When she was 10 years old, I would be really upset if he left stuff out on the counter or even just like on a nightstand when she would come in at night. And she had her best friend at the time. Her parents were staunch Republicans, worked at a military college, right? And I was worried about ripple effects of our licensure on her life, right? And so that has been a big shift in my thinking in trying to liken it as to alcohol and be as accepting, or, you know, hoping other people are as accepting
exactly
that cannabis is as with alcohol. So yeah, so it's been
that's the thing. Alcohol is so accepted,
right?
You know, and don't drink and drive, but you put bars right down on the road.
There is a liquor store in New Hampshire on the highway.
Exactly. Like anywhere you go, I remember I used to live right around the corner from a bar. I knew my limit. Like it wasn't like I was out here like slamming them, but I drank enough to I know that I could get home because I live less than a mile away from the bar and I know how to, you know, handle mine. But you're promoting, don't do this, don't do that. But we're going to put one here. We're going to put one here. We're going to put two right here across the street. But you better not drive to them. But with cannabis, it's always been like, it's the devil. Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So now, I mean.
Until consumption licenses, which is, I think, going to be the next step that we've all been waiting for.
We've had consumption conversations on here. Consumption conversations on cannabisations. Hey.
Say that 10 times.
I know, right? Well, look, we have got to the part of the show that I have been, I swear, man. Nick, I told you, man, I've just been waiting. I've just been biding my time. So we've come to the part of the show where I would ask you to please put a sticker on the table.
Oh, cool.
This is, we're filling up. Hey, and I know like a couple episodes I said ago that I was going to change the table, but you know, life took over and I didn't. But today I moved the table around. I took down everything, turned the table, put the mics back on, made a sound check just so you got extra space.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? Because this was the section and it got filled up. The tables have turned. It's funny. I'm going to turn this into some type of masterpiece after it's over. Once I get full, I want to do something. I don't know.
cool, but, man. I see a lot of friends on this.
Yeah, it's the community. It's the community is building this table, you know. So,
yeah. Well, it's been a great adventure transitioning from being kind of an underground grower to a licensed grower. It's been a lot of fun, and you know, you guys were talking about.
Well, and the fact that you can talk about it.
Yeah.
I've been waiting to talk about it.
That's how
the name of the company came around.
That's what I was going to ask.
That's another part of the story. Is like, you know, I spent so many years growing underground and using fake names online, and it was a whole nother lifestyle.
Yeah.
And for many years, that was kind of my cannabis experience. And to answer your question earlier, when I got arrested, it just felt like, I mean, I kind of knew that when you got an apartment with a closet full of weed or a spare bedroom with a bunch of plants in it, you knew that you were taking a fairly big risk back then. Yeah. I mean, people would call you in because they could smell it.
Yeah.
And so when I got arrested, it was kind of, it wasn't a shock because I'd been growing for a long time. And so it just felt like a natural progression, and I guess something that I had always kind of been expecting.
Yeah.
But it sucked going down for three little plants like that. But
I swear, like I said, I thought you had...
And the irony of him now being a social equity applicant because of those
three plants. Yeah. Hey, look what you did. Yeah.
it's crazy to think that so all these years later, some of the benefits that I received being a social equity applicant. But that being said, I think Vermont is one of the first states to take it seriously, which is really cool to see. And you know, for someone like us, for us to be able to have the opportunity to do what we did in a year is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Because
we wouldn't have been able to do it. Everything between the store and the cultivation, there's no way we would have been able to meet all those licensing fees plus the rest of it.
Yeah. Or even really be granted the opportunity. Like, we have friends in Massachusetts. In Massachusetts, like, just to get a license, it was a lottery
in
the beginning, you know. And so Vermont's done a great job to really support the growers that were there doing it since the beginning.
I like the name change too. You know, you went from Black Market to Legacy.
Yes.
Legacy has almost like a cape.
Classy
it has
name,
like a cape hanging behind it as well. Like, you know, it's like, hey, that's a superhero right there. Finally out of the shadows.
Yeah. So. Well, that was it. I mean, we were for years. When I first started growing, there was like a message board that we would overgrow that I would hang out on, and that's kind of where we learned to. That's where I learned a lot of the stuff that you had to learn at the time growing, because it was hard to get information back then. Too.
Yeah,
there was like
it was.
If you had seed shipped, they would be classified as bird seed.
Well, yeah, and they'd you'd send the money order, and they'd come a month later.
A month later,
in a CD case.
Oh, that's crazy.
Labeled bird seed.
Six bird seeds. We got to the part of the show that's called Own Weed. And what I like to ask is how you like to smoke. I already know we had to ask because, you know, he came over before, kicked it for dinner. So I was like, you know, we can't just have dinner with no smoke. So I had to ask how you like to smoke. But anyway, first question is, how do you like to consume cannabis?
Well, my number one method's still going to be the glass pipe. I like that. Or a water pipe. I like small water pipes.
Yeah.
This is hickory.
I do love my hickory glass.
I want to have him on. He's going to be on. I got to get him
Chris
on the show.
Great guy.
Yeah, I met him once. He was kind of busy, but Now, once I got him.
Second Hickory.
He's busy, but he's a really great
guy. He's cool.
I've had Hickories a couple times, actually, in my life now.
But long before you were a licensed grower,
you
were gifted a Hickory.
I was gifted a Hickory by one of Chris's high school friends, actually. It was cool. That was a pipe I never forgot, and then years later I got to meet Chris. And
now that's dope. Couple pieces.
He's a great guy, and he's another licensee.
Yeah.
Another grower.
Yeah, I'll be seeing his logo certain places, and I got to get down there and try some of their buds. So, yeah.
It's good.
Weed's amazing. His glass is also amazing.
His glass is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I had Hot Mess Glass on, and I'm learning about different types of blowing, like glass blowing and things. And hey, man, just glass blowing in general, that's like that is insane. All that heat and I'm good, man. I like the cold. How do you like to consume?
I personally prefer beverages.
Yeah.
My favorite are the tonics. And after that, I like tinctures, like the nano tinctures are probably my second favorite. It's edibles.
Vapes.
Yeah,
I like vapes now too. Like I like vapes. Edibles. I edibles every day now.
For some reason, when I smoke flower, it's way more of an intense high for me than if I'm consuming a drink or something else. And so I find that I can't be super social if I'm smoking, so I kind of reserve that for the very end of my day, right before bed, but this is how I prefer to.
Yeah, a beverage is like a slow climb. You can hit a blunt a couple too many times, and you can, whoo.
Yeah.
So, even though I enjoy that, but it's not for everybody.
It's not for me. I get too introverted, and I'm like, don't talk to me.
Yeah, leave me alone. Well, the next question is, what type of, when you're not in the house growing, what kind of activities do you like to do?
Well, there's not a lot of, in the last 2 years, there hasn't been a lot of time for that, but I like to ski, and I've always been a musician. I play drums. I played trumpet when I was pretty young. I haven't done that in many years, but I still play drums.
You know, trumpet, that's a dope. My daughter's playing the alto sax.
Nice.
You know, well, she doesn't want to, because I'm having to tell her, you got to practice every day. Like, this is you're not going to just slack off and just going to sit in the corner. No, you're going to practice every day. And so she's not a huge fan of practice. Not every day. I give her like 2 days off. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to give her a break. But, you know,
I think to start, you were probably the same.
Yeah.
Playing the trumpet, you didn't want to?
I didn't.
No,
well, I didn't really love trumpet, but I discovered drums, and once my parents finally got me a drum set, I played every day without asking. I was obsessive.
That's what it was.
Yep.
Noise!
Oh, yeah.
That's the way parents think. It's just noise.
Yep.
That's dope. What about you?
I mean, I have a really sedentary job now, but I used to be fairly athletic, so skiing, running, fishing.
Fishing.
Outdoors. Yeah. Just whatever, doing whatever outside.
Biking. Yeah, that's dope. Started biking a couple years ago. Yeah.
COVID got us into biking.
Yeah. Okay, Ben, that's a good time. That was a good time to do a lot of things outdoors. Well, it was a
good way for us to connect with our daughter. Yeah. She's 15 now, and she still kind of liked us a little bit.
Does it change? You see my daughter, my baby. That's my baby.
Yeah, she's lovely.
But I seen an interview with Whoopi Goldberg, and she was talking about how when my daughter turned 13, she completely changed. Didn't turn back until she was 26. And I was like, not my baby. She gonna always be my baby. Don't do that to me. Has she changed?
Yeah. I think so.
I mean, and for the, and I know it's like a separation, because even as a boy, like, I hit a certain stage, I'm like, Mom, don't kiss me. Like, no, don't do that.
But she still wants a home. She still wants me to make her grilled cheese.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, like, she can act all pissed off and whatever, but she's like, so you want to get me that grilled cheese now? You know?
Yeah,
that's a normal phase, man.
Yeah.
And then by the time they're 25, they're like, Dad, I'm sorry. I need help.
That's real. Yeah. We all do.
You start to realize, man, my parents, I had it pretty good. My parents actually did a lot.
So you paid the bills.
Yeah. I didn't realize that. Yep.
I didn't know world came. I keep telling my daughter, I'm like, yo, all this stuff costs. She got $100, mm-hmm. and yo, you couldn't tell her shit. She was a millionaire. Yep. Like, I swear to God, she had $100 bill, and yep. man. And she locked her phone. She punched in a new code to her cell phone, and she forgot it. And
what happened with Ella?
It's a kid thing.
Oh, yeah.
Except for hers was screen time, so now her screen time is locked on her phone, and she's the one who put it on, and she can't get it off.
Hey, that's even worse. Hey, self-sabotage. With her, we was on our way to Virginia, and she was in the back seat, and she locked her code out, and got it from Vermont, so you're going to have to wait till we get back to Vermont. So she didn't have a phone the whole time. That's what I said.
She'll never forget that.
Yeah.
I was like, you'll never forget that code again. Like, I sure won't. Well, so the next question is, what kind of music do you like? When we get stoned, I know cannabis is a heavy influence on music. Drummer.
Tell us Colonel Forbin.
Yeah. Colonel Forbin.
I've listened to probably almost every different type of music throughout my parents listened to a lot of classical and jazz, so I grew up, they were into music too, so I was a trumpet player and drums when I first started playing music. It was jazz. And then in high school, I was into
Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah, heavy metal, some electronica and stuff like that. Yeah, that was cool, and a little bit of hip hop, like in the 2000s.
Nineties, two thousands.
The music was just great, right?
Yeah.
Like, even the radio plays. I would listen
to the radio then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And now I listen to a lot of classic rock too. But and then obviously Phish, I'd love like
that's
the jazz.
The primary one is.
Yeah, I listen to a lot of jam band stuff now. I mean, I love that stuff. That's where it goes.
I had a guy go on the podcast, and he was like, "No, he's from Vermont. I ain't gonna say who it is. You gotta listen to it." But he was like, he's from Vermont. He was like, "No, the jam bands."
Yeah.
He was like, "I'm good."
Yeah.
But I know that's Vermont is.
Well, also his
Grateful Dead.
Your
new
favorite.
What's the new favorite?
Marcus Razak. Yep, he's from L.A. But
what's his name?
Marcus Razak. He's an incredible guitar player.
Okay,
he's very talented.
Yep, Marcus is an incredible musician. Though I met him, I think like 6 or 8 months ago. I started listening to his music a year or so ago. But he's going to be in Cabot for Jerry Jam.
With
Shred is Dead. That's one of his.
Jerry Jam. I didn't know nothing about Jerry Jam, and I had big, Dan from 1791. He was talking about.
I love him.
Yeah, he was talking about the Jerry Jam.
Come out to Jerry Jam. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, that's what I've been.
You can meet Marcus because he's like the one of the best guitarists in the world right now.
Hey.
I'll just come out and
say
that.
We got to meet Dave Pransky.
Yes, it's at Pransky Farm. He's one of the original founding members of Two Bob group.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the bassist.
Love Two Bob.
So it's out at his farm, his parents' place out in Cabot, and Jerry Jam.
Okay.
Shred is Dead. Come see Marcus Reza.
Hey, I might have to pull up. Just
yep. He's going to be at Zen Barn again soon,
okay.
too.
So. Oh, that's
He has a Phish cover band called Gumbo. He does Shred is Dead, which is like Grateful Dead cover band. Incredible music. And if that's your jam, like it's really good.
Hey, man.
And then Guitar Head is his self-titled band, which is also really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's on it now. Like, yeah, he know what he like. I like people who know the music they like.
Well, Marcus is just, he's bringing some fresh shit to the jam band scene.
That's what's up.
He's a vibe.
And if you like, it's not just jam band. This guy can play guitar. If you like electric guitar, you like classic rock, I mean, he's really good. So.
Well, man, I wrote him down. You see me write him, so I got to check him out because when people get... People like music. I'm like, let me
I listen to all types of music. Yeah. I listen to a lot of vinyl.
I know
kind
a guy.
Through it all.
I got his picture. He's on this sticker. Oh, he's right there. He's right behind it. You can't see. I'll show you later. Oh, yeah. But his name's Matt Hagen. I perform with him sometime doing voiceovers and singing and stuff. But I went to his home one day, and he has a room. A room like this with stickers. Imagine a room like this with records. Mm-hmm. That's the way his room. I mean, it was crates to the ceiling with records. And I was like, yo, I've never seen this many records. And he was like, this isn't even half. My whole basement is full of records. So I'm like, wow, that runs deep. And he was like, yeah, it does. So next question is, I know we like munchies. So what is your favorite munchie to eat when you get stoned?
Wow. Probably cereal.
Love cereal. Yeah. No lie.
Ben and Jerry's. Not lately, because I'm trying to eat a little better.
Hey, I gotta eat healthy. But cereal, yeah, this shit ain't going. 40
years old, it's like,
can't be
no
knocking
more
off
Ben and Jerry's, man.
I can't be knocking off a pint of ice cream night.
No, not for no reason at all.
Not for no reason.
It's gotta be a special occasion.
Yeah,
man.
It's a special occasion.
Yeah.
What's your cereal?
Oh man,
it's Captain Crunch.
Depends on if I'm trying to eat healthy or not.
I really like granola.
I love granola, but yeah, I'm a sucker for Captain sweet Crunch. Cereal.
Yeah,
too,
that's
so whatever the kids got in the cabinet too. That's always a
so
like, that's part of the decision.
When I what you like, I'm gonna try it too. One of the things I always envied about going to my friend's house is they had like 8-9 different boxes of cereal on there, top of the fridge or whatever. And I would always get like, my great grandma would only buy honeycombs. And I was like, please, can you get something else? Like anything. I ended up buying a thing of honeycombs. Like, I hadn't ate them since my childhood. And I bought some honeycombs a while back. And I was like, it still kind of tastes like sweet cardboard.
Yep.
Like, it has that. I don't want these, but now, like you said, as an adult, like I eat some granola cereal, some of the, what's it, the Kosky nuts
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yo, them things rock.
Yeah, the older you get, the more I'm drawn to I don't actually want a sweet granola.
Yeah, sweet granola. Let me get. Is there one with peanut butter and this maple pecan granola?
Yep.
So, all right, and for the final question, what type of your edible, my bad. What do you like to eat?
Cheese and crackers.
That's it. What kind of cheese? What's your cheese? Cheddar, just straight up cheddar.
Yeah.
I like
cabbage.
Cheddar. I like the extra. I like New York
sharp.
Sharp. I like that little in the back. What's your cracker?
Well, we actually, my brother turned us on to
the cave age. I was going to say, if you like sharp cheddar, get Cabot Cloth Pound or the cave aged if you get that.
All right.
It's so good. It's like Parmesan sharp.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I prefer the crackers. They're like halfway between a Ritz cracker and a pretzel, and they're amazing.
What are they called?
Flip sides.
Oh, the flip sides. Okay, I've seen them before.
Yeah.
I like Triscuits.
Yes.
I like the shred. I also like Frosted Mini Wheats. So it's kind of like
they
kind of run hand in hand.
There, yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, what type of TV do you like to watch? Like, what do you like to watch on TV? Or
I don't watch a lot of TV.
That's what I was going to say. Or do you watch like TV shows or?
We watch shows every now and then. We used to watch a lot more movies, but I'm not big on movies. I watch a lot of YouTube. Watch like educational stuff. I watch like podcasts, interviews. There's a lot of series that I've found on YouTube.
Yeah.
Growing related or still do a lot of like HVAC related facility.
Okay.
Build out stuff. So I watch guys that are in the same field.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It sounds like you can't leave work alone. Like you, it, I mean, it's
no,
a good,
I, that's the, like that's for fun.
Yeah.
I watch some of the trades that I used to do. I still watch some of those guys that are doing it just because it's enjoyable.
I found an asbestos video. It just popped up on YouTube, and I used to do asbestos removal.
Yep.
And they was building the decon. And I was like, that's not how we did it. I started telling them, no, that's not right.
There's some really good content on YouTube.
Yeah, it is.
There's some really good creators that do a good job doing that
stuff. I call it YouTube-iversity.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And it's entertaining, too.
Entertaining, yeah. And people do it in different ways. You can find the boring person that'll sit there and tell you like this. Yeah. And then you find that entertaining person that's more...
Yeah, just the right mix of entertainment... education and like good editing, so that you're just like you're hooked right through
exactly
the whole thing.
The whole thing. Yeah,
it's fun. I'll take that over real TV any day.
That's dope. Well, what about you, Angela? You watch TV?
Yeah, I like murder mystery stuff or crime stuff. We recently finished watching The Blacklist.
That was good.
And I also love the whole Jack Reacher series.
It's also
a huge
pretty good.
Reacher. Fan.
Yeah. Okay, Reacher. I haven't watched any, but I've seen it.
I've read almost all the books, and the two seasons that have just come out were really good.
That's cool.
The movie was crappy.
I've been on a new show search, so I might have to jump on Reacher to see.
It's really good.
See how it is. Okay, all right, Reacher it is. Well, look, I think I've held y'all long enough because I told Angela, what event was we at? When I got you, I was like, "Come here!" Oh, we was at the
Hetty's?
No, the crap shooting.
The high stakes event.
Yep. And I grabbed Angela and I was like, "Look, I need Nick on my show." I was like, "I need you to make it happen."
We wanted to do it a long time.
I know, man.
I wanted to be here. You know, it's funny because we have been at probably, I bet we've been at well over 10 different events, probably close to 20 events where we see each other.
Yeah,
Maybe even more.
Private and public.
Yeah, probably way more than 20. Yeah, I feel like I've gotten to know you pretty good outside of you know,
it's like every other month or so.
We didn't have to really make a sit down and have a pre-interview. I've built everything around you by talking.
Thanks for having us. We wanted to be here for a long time, but you know, things got hectic when we right after we met. You know, it was quite a journey.
And it was like nothing, then
boom, everything.
Yeah.
And that's how it happens, and that's why I like to be so generous with the time. It's like whenever you can, if you can. I had a guy who was like, "Can I come in like 7 at night?" I'm like, "Yes," because I know this when you have time. Because I'm get off work, I got other things to do. So, but I greatly, and with this being the 50th episode.
Congratulations, man.
On All-Star Weekend, I'm going to take a picture with you, okay? Cool. And I got a whole thing. I just thought about it. All-Star Weekend, right. Basketball.
All right.
I got a plan. All right.
Cool.
So, well, anyway, thank y'all again so much for coming on. And thank y'all for listening. I greatly appreciate y'all. My Canisations pre-roll is in Forbin's, or was,
they're probably sold out.
Yeah, that's crazy. Hey, you hear that? He said they probably sold out. But Canisations pre-roll is out there. I got a couple more things that I got cooking up that's going to be coming out here soon, hopefully. But for all latest information, y'all go to Canisations Chris Podcast on Instagram. Boy, you got something cooking, y'all stay looking. So you know how it goes. Y'all stay blazing and stay amazing. And we out.
That was good.
That was fun.
I've never been on a podcast before.
Hey. That's what I like. Yeah, I like it. It's definitely something different. So I'm glad y'all got to come on.
That was cool. We'll come back and do it again. I could talk for a long time.
I know you can.
It takes a while to get going, but I'm full of lots more stories.
Yeah, I know you got some stories.
What do you call it?
The collages?
Yeah,
I made these two collages in prison. These two.
That is why there's so many naked ladies in it. Got it. Check. Okay.
I made all of these.
While you were thinking about naked ladies while you were in jail. Got it.
I was.